As we've been working our way through, or what I feel like we've been working our way through ever since we had our friends Duke and Marie here, just a fuller awareness of God always at work in us, always speaking, always giving direction. And so I've been kind of seeing this abundance that is ours, that God leads us to and invites us into all the time. There's always this invitation that's ongoing. And in this past couple of weeks, what I've really been aware of is we talk, it's almost like we talk a good Christian game sometimes, and we give affirmation to scripture and we say, yes, this is good, and yes, and amen, and yes, we believe these things. But there is a lot that goes on in our day in and day out lives that feels less than humdrum, almost like really there's not much happening. And we're really, if somebody said in the middle of the week, you know, especially like on a Monday morning, you know, told us that we were overcomers, you know, we'd probably roll our eyes and go, really? Like, I barely got out of bed this morning. And so what I'm seeing is there's a whole reality. And, you know, that was kind of the impetus that pushed me to do the whole wardrobe scene. If you had a chance to read that this week, you know, the pushing through all the stuff that prevents us from praying so that we can actually break through into this world that Jesus has for us. And so that was the thing that pushed me on that one. And so it just came up that, you know, prayer is so often misunderstood. And it's like that. There are so many obstacles. It's like, I don't really do it very well, or I can't pray like so-and-so, so I don't want to pray out loud because I feel kind of embarrassed. And I'm just like, you know, there's more to praying than what we might have thought. So that's what I want to look at this morning. Prayer samplings, I'm calling it. So in this little paragraph at the beginning, I'm just saying, before technology became the way to communicate, face-to-face exchange and personal handwritten messages, if you remember those, managed to hold an ever-expanding society together for millennia. The spoken word was invaluable. The handwritten word a close second. Both have been employed extensively as prayer testament and personal record of mankind's relationship with God down through the ages. Honesty and intensity we encounter in historic prayers can still help us today in creating freedoms in and developing habits of prayer for ourselves. So I think there's just still, for all of us, regardless of where we're at on this journey, this prayer journey, this relationship with Jesus, there's so much more to learn. There's so much wider horizons that are still waiting for us. And so just talking about historically, you know, just got a few things from people who down through the ages. And so I'd like to read this one little passage from Martin Luther when he talks about prayer. And so he's, of course, this is translated from the German, of course, but this is what he was communicating. True worshipers are those who worship God in spirit and in truth. All who believe their prayers will not be heard sin upon the left hand against this scripture in that they go far astray with their unbelief. But those who set times, places, measures, and limits for God sin upon the right hand and come too close with their tempting of God. So God has forbidden us to err from his commandment on either the left or the right, that is, either with unbelief or with tempting. Instead, we are to come to God in simple faith, remaining on the straight road, trusting him, and yet setting him no bounds. Mm-hmm. I really like how he's putting this here. So we can fall on one side or the other, but what God is inviting us to is a straight road, which is the blank in number one. This straight road, setting, you know, believing in simple faith, remaining on that road, trusting him, and yet setting him no bounds. And, you know, if I think for myself, trusting God is not a problem when there is no problem.
Yeah.
But when a problem shows up, there it becomes a problem in prayer, because it's like, oh, now trusting has a name. You know, trusting has some new dimension to it. And as we've been, you know, some of us have, I've been communicating, or Sue's been communicating for us, my brother's in the hospital, and now they're suspecting it's cancer. And, you know, so all of a sudden a problem shows up, and now this problem tests our faith, tests our trusting. Mm-hmm. And has anything really changed? You know, God hasn't changed in this, but it's just all of a sudden a problem has shown up, and now we're looking at it in a different way, and how we approach prayer changes. So that was this idea of this straight road. It always is the same. Life is full. You know, I use this big word sometimes, vicissitudes, you know, the ups and downs, the good times and the bad times, how things, you know, it seems like everything's going our way. And then all of a sudden it seems like nothing's going our way. And if you're a little bit like me, you know, after a few things start going wrong, you kind of forget that it ever went well. And it feels like it's always been bad, and God has never paid attention. And then you have to kind of, circumstances have to slap you upside the head to make you realize, oh, you know what? I really have been super blessed here. So that's the straight road. It just continues on. And then from Søren Kierkegaard from the 19th century, I really like what he says here. He's praying and he goes, Father in heaven, you have loved us first. Help us never to forget that you are love, so that this sure conviction might triumph in our hearts over the seduction of the world, over the inquietude of the soul, over the anxiety for the future, over the fright of the past, over the distress of the moment. But grant also that this conviction might discipline our soul, so that our heart might remain faithful and sincere in the love which we bear to all those whom you have commanded us to love as we love ourselves. You have loved us first, O God. Alas, we speak of it in terms of history, as if you have only loved us first, but a single time, rather than that without ceasing. You have loved us first, many times, and every day, and our whole life through. When we wake up in the morning and turn our soul toward you, you're there first. You have loved us first. If I rise at dawn and at the same second turn my soul toward you in prayer, you are there ahead of me. You have loved me first. When I withdraw from the distractions of the day and turn my soul toward you, you are the first and thus forever. And yet we always speak ungratefully, as if you have loved us first only once. And so God loved us first, continues to love us first. He's the lover of our souls. If we're paying attention or if we're not paying attention, if we're trusting or if we're disobedient. And so I think this is a really important thing to consider here. And so that is first and forever is the second blank. Søren Kierkegaard, he's loved us first and forever. So God's love is constant, not like our love. You know, if you annoy me, I have a hard time loving until you make it right, or whatever has to happen there. But God loves us first and forever. Whether we're good, bad, or indifferent, he still loves us. That's his love. Moving closer into the 20th century with Agnes Sanford, whose writings many of us may know. She gives this example, which I think is really important for us. She goes, here's a story she tells. A working woman once told me that she asked God to send two pairs of boots for her sons to protect their feet from rain and slush. That night, she said, the ground froze over solid, and for 2 days, the boys walked to school dry-shod. Upon the third day, a neighbor gave her two pairs of boots for her sons. "Oh, but I would never dare do that," cried a young man to whom I repeated this, "because what if the boots didn't come?" If the boots weren't forthcoming, he implied, there was no God. But if he had turned on an electric light and it had failed to shine, he would not have said, there is no electricity. He would have said, there is something wrong with this lamp. Let us understand then that if our experiment fails, it is not due to a lack in God, but to a natural and understandable lack in ourselves. What scientist would be discouraged if his first experiment failed? Since we intend, with his help, to heal our shortcomings, to repair our wiring, we need not fear to test his power by prayer.
Oh, yeah.
So, wow. A pair of boots is the third blank. So I really liked her example there about the electricity. You know, we wouldn't have said there's no electricity. We just said there's a problem with the lamp. And the last example there from André Louvre, who was a Cistercian monk. And he says this about prayer. He said, there's no other way of learning how to pray except return to yourself and to your true and deepest nature, to the human being in Jesus that you already are, purely and simply by grace. Nobody can learn how to see, for seeing is something we can do by nature. So too with prayer. Authentic prayer can never be learnt from someone else. It has its own instructor within it. Prayer is God's gift to him who prays.
Oh, that's good.
And then he says, so long as we ourselves are still intent on the word of God in our heart, we come no further than the prelude. There comes a moment when we yield up God's word to the spirit within us. Then it is that our heart gives birth to prayer. And then at last, the word of God has become truly ours. We have then discovered and realized our most profound, our true identity. And then the name of Jesus has become our name also. And together with Jesus, we may with one voice call God, Abba, Father. Prayer is the superabundance of the heart. So that's the blank there. He said, it's the superabundance of the heart, the overflow. So these people down through the centuries, just these few examples that I've cited here now, show that people have been approaching God, approaching this idea of communicating with God through prayer, and have experimented with all kinds of things and know what it is to fail and know what it is to finally succeed, and finally decide that we hide ourselves in God. We don't just do this from an exterior position. We hide ourselves in him, in the word. The word becomes ours. And I was just thinking this morning as we were praying before the service, one of the things that we almost want to do, I think, what we need to do is come to this place where we are far more aware of being in God, in his world, where he's in charge, than we are about all the mess and the wars and the disasters that are taking place around us and the cultural shifts and all that. It's okay to be aware of that. It's needful to be aware of that. But I think our starting point needs to be we're safe in him. We come to him first, and we recognize our, as Agnes Semper says, our human being in Jesus, you know, that we're there first, and this is where we address all the other issues that are external. And then what I'd like to do now, what I would like to do is not have you follow along in your Bibles if you have them there open. What I'd like you to do is look, as we look at some Psalms this morning, I'd like to read them out of the Passion Translation, but recognizing these are prayers written some maybe 3,000 years ago, obviously translated from the Hebrew and whatever. But they tell us something about the relationship of God's people with him down through the ages. And so what I'd like you to do is just be able to listen to these prayers and just, what are you hearing? What are you hearing as far as relationships concerned when these people are talking? And so, you know, again, it's, these aren't original languages. If I couldn't speak Hebrew to you if I had to, but and if I did, you wouldn't understand it probably. So it's good to have it in our own language. Here's Psalm 31. Just listen to what the psalmist, when it's attributed to King David, let's listen to the relationship that he had with God. This is 3,000 years ago. This is 1,000 years before Jesus came. So this is Old Testament. This is the kings and prophets and all that kind of stuff happening. So let me read this psalm. This is Psalm 31. I trust you, Lord, to be my hiding place. Don't let me down. Don't let my enemies bring me to shame. Come and rescue me, for you're the only God who always does what is right. Rescue me quickly when I cry out to you. At the sound of my prayer, may your ear be tuned to me. Be my strong shelter and hiding place on high. Pull me into victory and breakthrough,
yes,
for you are my high fortress where I'm kept safe. You are to me a stronghold of salvation. Whether you deliver me out of this peril, or when you deliver me out of this peril, it will bring glory to your name. As you guide me forth, I'll be kept safe from the hidden snares of the enemy, the secret traps that lie before me. For you have become my rock of strength. Into your hands I now entrust my spirit. O Lord, the God of faithfulness, you have rescued and redeemed me. I despise these deceptive illusions, all this pretense and nonsense, for I worship only you. In mercy, you have seen my troubles and you have cared for me. Even during this crisis in my soul, I will be radiant with joy, filled with praise for your love and mercy. You have kept me from being conquered by my enemy. You broke open the way to bring me to freedom, into a beautiful, broad place. Oh, Lord, help me again. Keep showing me such mercy, for I'm in anguish, always in tears, and I'm worn out with weeping. I'm becoming old because of grief. My health is broken. I'm exhausted. My life is spent with sorrow, my years with sighing and sadness. Because of all these troubles, I have no more strength. My inner being is so weak and frail. My enemies say, you are nothing. Even my friends and neighbors hold me in contempt. They dread seeing me and they look the other way when I pass by. I'm totally forgotten, buried away like a dead man, discarded like a broken dish thrown into the trash. I overheard their whispered threats, the slander of my enemies. I'm terrified as they plot and scheme to take my life. I'm desperate, Lord. I throw myself on you, for you alone are my God. My life, my every moment, my destiny, it's all in your hands. So I know you can deliver me from those who persecute me relentlessly.
Yes.
Smile on me, your servant. Let your undying love and glorious grace save me from all this gloom. As I call upon you, let my shame and disgrace be replaced by your favor once again. But let shame and disgrace fall instead upon the wicked, those going to their own doom, drifting down in silence to the dust of death. At last, their lying lips will be muted in their graves, for they are arrogant, filled with contempt and conceit as they speak against the godly. Lord, how wonderful you are. You have stored up so many good things for us, like a treasure chest heaped up and spilling over with blessings, all for those who honor and worship you. Everybody knows what you can do for those who turn and hide themselves in you. So hide all your beloved ones in the sheltered secret place before your face. Overshadow them by your glory presence. Keep them from these accusations, the yes, brutal insults of yes, evil men. Tuck them safely away in the tabernacle where you dwell. The name of the Lord is blessed and lifted high, for his marvelous miracles of mercy protected me when I was overwhelmed by my enemies. I spoke hastily when I said, the Lord has deserted me. For in truth, you did hear my prayer and came to rescue me. Listen to me, all you godly ones. Love the Lord with passion. The Lord protects and preserves all those who are loyal to him. But he pays back in full all those who reject him in their pride. So cheer up. Take courage, all you who love him. Wait for him to break through for you, all who trust in him.
Wow.
What I love about the Psalms is the absolute honesty.
Yes.
I'm in despair. I'm broken. I think I'm dying. Everybody hates me. I guess I'll go eat worms. But Lord, I'm going to praise you because you're faithful. You always rescue me. He always comes back. And so as a model for prayers, couldn't some of us pray this?
Yeah.
Like, I'm sick to death of being sick to death.
Right.
And, you know, and I've had it. I'm done. And I want you to go and do to me what you're doing to my enemies, what's happening to me, that kind of thing. And then he always turns his heart back to worship and to praise and encouraging others. So this great gut level honesty that is here in this prayer, he just goes on and on about working his way through how sad he really is. Isn't that wonderful to be that honest? Yes. Isn't it great to just really tell the Lord what we want? One author that I've been reading lately says, the Lord wants to hear what he sees.
Ooh.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Because he sees it all. He sees the depths of our hearts. He knows what's really in there. He knows the angers and the frustrations and the doubts and the fears and all the rest of it and the misgivings and questions about the future and all of that. But if we come with dressed up Sunday morning sounding prayers, I think he probably is there going, wow, I'm hearing this, but I'm seeing this and the two don't match. You know, and so God is big enough to take what is really in our hearts to really show him. And as Andre Luf was telling us, as we finally surrender that, surrender God's word and lift it up by the Spirit, we become one with the word. We live inside this relationship with God. So it's the blank there for Psalm 31. It's deeply hidden, rewarding mystery. And, you know, this whole idea of embracing mystery that we've talked about, you know, we'll never fully understand God and his love and his relationship with us. I mean, would you have chosen you if you were God? You know, most of us go, no, you know, and yet God looks at us at our absolute worst and chooses us with a permanent choosing, first and forever. And so it's a deeply hidden but rewarding mystery. So I'd like to move over to Psalm 46, same thing. Just listen to the relationship in Psalm 46. God, you're such a safe and powerful place to find refuge. You're a proven help in time of trouble. More than enough and always available whenever I need you. So we will never fear, even if every structure of support were to crumble away. We will not fear even when the earth quakes and shakes, moving mountains and casting them into the sea, for the raging roar of stormy winds and crashing waves cannot erode our faith in you. God has a constantly flowing river whose sparkling streams bring joy and delight to his people.
Yeah.
His river flows right through the city of God Most High into his holy dwelling places. God is in the midst of his city, secure and never shaken. At daybreak, his help will be seen with the appearing of the dawn. When the nations are in uproar with their tottering kingdoms, God simply raises his voice and the earth begins to disintegrate before him.
Mm.
Here he comes, the commander, the mighty Lord of angel armies is on our side. The God of Jacob fights for us. Everyone look, come and see the breathtaking wonders of our God. For he brings both ruin and revival. He's the one who makes conflicts end throughout the earth, breaking and burning every weapon of war. Surrender your anxiety, be silent, and stop your striving, and you will see that I am God. I am the God above all the nations, and I will be exalted throughout the whole earth. Here he stands, the commander, the mighty Lord of angel armies, on our side. The God of Jacob fights for us. What is always amazing when you read the Psalms, how many times they talk of safety, refuge, needing refuge, needing to be rescued.
Yeah.
Over and over again. So here we are in the 21st century, and what really are our prayers about? Often, rescue us, take me to a safe place in you, because I get afraid. I read news headlines, I can get afraid, and I feel like things are really going way out of control. So Lord, I need a refuge. I need you to come and rescue me. You always rescue. You're such a safe and powerful place to find refuge. Well, so it's, the honesty is so wonderful in these Psalms. They don't try to hide or pretend that they've got it all together, and it's a very nice sounding, pretty, encouraging prayer on a Sunday morning. They're honest. The hearts are open. They're really saying what is really true. And then they always come back to this wonderful realization that, you know, again, kind of like the first and forever, the loving us first and forever. Always coming back to that phrase, the commander, the mighty Lord of angel armies is on our side. The God of Jacob fights for us. So this reminding, so as we press in honesty, laying all that stuff down. First of all, I think it's nice because it empties our hearts of all the stuff that burdens us. And then there we are, completely emptied of all the junk and the weightiness and the dark stuff and the foreboding things, ready to receive what God has for us. And that's where once our hearts are, if they were filled up with all the other ugly stuff, once they get emptied out, there's room for the Lord to renew his rescue and his refuge and his safety and his great love for us. So the blank in the second one for Psalm 46, powerful help, exalted deliverer. I don't know about you, but I need to be reminding myself on a regular basis that I have powerful help on my side and I have an exalted deliverer on my side who never slumbers or sleeps. He's always there and he's always more than enough. Even when things get super frightening and really destabilizing and, you know, you're on the verge of freaking out or whatever it is that we do, this idea that we have powerful help and an exalted deliverer on our side encourages me to really go at it in prayer and just let her rip, just let it all hang out. Just let's not make it pretty. Let's tell God what's really in there. He wants to hear what he sees. And I was convicted of that when I read it a week or so ago, because I'm like, I'm not sure how often God hears in my prayers what he's seeing in my heart. So I'm more aware of, like, okay, so first of all, what's in my heart when I pray? And am I really giving that to him? Am I trusting him with that? And so one final psalm, 116. Again, we'll just kind of listen to this 3,000-year-old prayer. I am passionately in love with God because he listens to me. He hears my prayers and answers them As long as I live, I'll keep praying to him, for he stoops down to listen to my heart's cry. Death once stared me in the face, and I was close to slipping into its dark shadows. I was terrified and overcome with sorrow. I cried out to the Lord, God, come and save me. He was so kind, so gracious to me. Because of his passion toward me, he made everything right and he restored me. So I've learned from my experience that God protects the childlike and humble ones. For I was broken and brought low, but he answered me and came to my rescue. Now I can say to myself and to all, relax and rest, be confident and serene. For the Lord rewards fully those who simply trust in him. God has rescued my soul from death's fear and dried my eyes of many tears. He's kept my feet firmly on his path and strengthened me so that I may please him and live my life before him in his life-giving light. Even when it seems I'm surrounded by many liars and my own fears, and though I'm hurting in my suffering and trauma, I will still stay faithful to God and speak words of faith. So now what can I ever give back to God to repay him for the blessing he's poured out on me? I will lift up his cup of salvation and praise him extravagantly for all he's done for me. I will fulfill the promise I made to God in the presence of his gathered people. When one of God's holy lovers dies, it is costly to the Lord, touching his heart. Lord, because I am your loving servant, you have broken open my life and freed me from my chains. Now I'll worship you passionately and bring to you my sacrifice of praise, drenched with thanksgiving. I'll keep my promise to you, God, in the presence of your gathered people, just like I said I would. I will worship you here in your living presence in the temple in Jerusalem. I will worship and sing hallelujah, for I praise you, Lord. So again, in this prayer, thanksgiving for rescue, thanksgiving for being saved, thanksgiving for this gift of salvation. He calls it the cup of salvation. Thanks for the many blessings that he's been given, even though he once stared death in the face and was despairing. See, these prayers, just these three prayers, and there are many others like these, really show what people lived in their relationship with the Lord as they lived their lives. Lots of fear, lots of anxiety, lots of sense of being forgotten, abandoned, left alone, overcome with liars and those who are against them and saying all kinds of evil things against them. And at the, so they're putting all this out there before the Lord, and then they keep coming back and going, but I know you're the faithful one. I know it's in you that I have refuge. I know I'm going to be saved in you. I know you're going to come through for me. And it's this full life thing, this, like the Lord's Prayer, the full disclosure, the reality of our hearts that gets exposed. And so if we're ever unsure of how to pray or it's time to pray, many, many people are saying, just go to the Psalms because they're the church's prayer book and just make those prayers your prayers. I think these three prayers that I've read this morning, I think these three could be prayers that we would pray on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. We can be thankful, fearful, despairing, sad, discouraged, angry, whatever, and we bring it all to him. And as we lay it out, it just seems like God comes through and shows up again, more than enough, more faithful, more loving. So I don't think our days are much different than what the church has lived throughout all the ages before us in the last 2,000 years. And in these prayers, even 1,000 years before Jesus was born, their relationship with the Lord, with the whole system of sacrifices and all of this. But what intimacy of relationship all these prayers are talking about. It's like These are not prayers of just formal prayers standing at a distance. These are like pouring your heart out and trusting and knowing that God loves you with an everlasting love and draws you and does all this. So it's not just New Testament. It's not just in our day that we have this intimate relationship with God. 3,000 years ago, it looks to me like people had a pretty intimate relationship with him as well.
Yes.
So just want to encourage us that if we're ever stymied or at a loss, we're like, I don't even know how to pray because of the circumstance I'm in, turn to the Psalms and just scan through and just see if you can find one that seems to fit your circumstances, or even at random, maybe it would just be a blessing. But just reading through those, lots of people read amongst their regular daily reading, they read at least one psalm a day, just making it their prayer as they go through. And I think that's what the Holy Spirit is asking of us, making our relationship in prayer real with him.
Yeah.
So that he can actually hear what he sees. That's great. And so the blank in the Psalm 116, compassionate listening, extravagant rescuer. Extravagant rescuer, not just barely, not just by the skin of our teeth, but he comes through in massive, extravagant ways. So just these prayer samplings to encourage us that as we develop our relationship with the Lord, stay in contact with him through prayers, we can do it in these kind of ways with as much honesty as we can pull off. And maybe it's for that very reason Jesus recommended you go into your closet, because not everybody wants to hear everything that's in your heart, but God does. so don't pollute the air or all with all the people around you, but just go into your closet and let it out. You know, just let it happen and then find God's love for you in that place.
Awesome.
So as we look at this, I gave us the Lord's Prayer, full disclosure, if you had a chance to read it. And so that's what I'd like to take some time this morning to, we will pray together as well. But I want us to consider, if you had a chance to read that, your reactions to that, and how is that reflective of your prayers? How would you pray the Lord's Prayer? And I don't, we didn't bring copies of that. So
no.
I didn't think to bring copies of that. So,